Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NOCIL Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. S.R. Deo, Managing Director from NOCIL Limited. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, all participants. A very warm welcome to everybody on the call. Firstly, we welcome Mr. Anand, who has joined NOCIL board effective from 2nd of March as Deputy Managing Director. Mr. Anand comes with a rich experience of over 20 years from BASF Group, and he has handled several critical responsibilities at BASF. Along with Mr. Anand, I have Mr. P. Srinivasan, our Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. Hope you all have received our investor presentations by now. For those who have not, you can view them on stock exchanges and the company website. I hope you and your loved ones are safe and doing well. Let me now discuss the period's business highlights. We ended FY22 with a revenue of 1,571 crores with a growth of 70%. That entails a 16% annual growth, volume growth compared to the previous year. The revenue mix for the year is domestic 64% and export 36%. On a sequential basis, the domestic business for the quarter has shown a marginal growth, while the export degrowth marginally due to logistics and shipping issues. The year saw a production growth of over 34% to align with our strategy of building inventory to meet short-term demand spikes and any supply disruptions. NOCIL could pass on the cost increase through appropriate finished goods pricing, price increase on a periodic interval. The cost increases were due to the Russian-Ukraine situation, which led to a higher crude oil benzene prices, the increase in the spread between benzene and its derivatives. Further, the unforeseen high utility prices of coal, gas, and supply chain disruptions on account of COVID disturbances in China, delaying arrival of import parcels and the various logistics issues, and also on the impact of input costs. NOCIL, over the last few years, has been taking various steps to mitigate some of the supply chain disruptions in the form of alternate sourcing, encouraging local supplies to align with Atmanirbhar mission, reduce its dependency on China on various raw materials. In spite of the challenging environment prevailing in last two years, NOCIL has performed well due to integrated value chain, technological strength, wide product range, and good marketing network. With these measures, we are happy to inform you that we could outperform our guidance of more than 10% volume growth and more than 50% revenue growth in FY22 compared to FY21. As informed earlier, during our previous call, we continue to pursue to consolidate our position in the global and domestic rubber chemicals market. To meet this objective in near term, the company has plans to invest in small CapEx programs towards debottlenecking of capacities of some of the products. Further detailed evaluation on additional CapEx is being carried out, and on finalization, we will inform the investors at large. On the industry scenario, in FY22, supply side issues such as semiconductor chip shortages and logistics issue impacted OE demand, but tire replacement demand was strong across the product segments. Tire exports were strong, fueled by robust demand from key destinations such as United States and Europe. Domestic demand for tire is in general follows the GDP growth pattern, and we therefore believe that this growth can be in the region of 7 to 9% in FY23. As the demand outlook in the medium term remains favorable, the capex plans announced by some of the tire industry present us an opportunity to participate in the same. This is from my side. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Pirish Niyasan to give you an update on the financial performance. Thank you very much, and over to Mr. Pirish Niyasan.
Thank you, Mr. Dev, Mr. Anand, and good afternoon to everyone. Hope you all have safe and good health. To summarize or review the results of Q4 FY22, we registered the highest ever quarterly revenue of 463 crores. The performance was always on the back of better realization during the quarter, which we indicated in the previous call that we are going to have a price hikes. So some of the financial highlights, let me run through that. The volumes for Q4 FY22 grew by 34%, taking a base of Q1 FY20. That means on base of 100, it is 136 or 135. Whereas sequential quarter volumes were flattish. The reasons have been explained by Mr. Dev. The volumes for FY22 grew by 16% as compared to FY21. And as indicated Mr. Dev, we have already exceeded the earlier guidance of 10% plus. Net revenue for Q4 FY22 stood at 463 crores as against 389 crores from Q3 FY22, a sequential growth of 19%. The sales growth was driven by price hikes taken across product segments during the quarter, commensurate with the cost increases, and also a change in the product mix. Net revenue from operations for the financial year 22 stood at 1571 crores as against 925 crores recorded in FY21 with a growth of 70%. Coming to the operating EBITDA parameters, the operating EBITDA for Q4 FY22 stood at 111 crores as against 50 crores quarter on quarter growth of 121%. For FY22, the EBITDA is about 283 crores as against 127 crores in FY21, a growth of 123% on year-to-year basis. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 24% in Q4 FY22 as compared to 13% in Q3 FY22. For FY22, the overall EBITDA is 18% as against 14% in FY21. EBITDA margins expanded primarily due to the operating leverage benefits. As we said, we have increased our production rates by 34% as compared to the previous year. On the profit before tax parameters or the PBT parameters, the PBT for Q4 FY22 stood at 95 crores as compared to 40 crores for Q3 FY22. PBT for the year 22, full year 22, stood at 240 crores as compared to 104 crores in FY21. On profit after tax parameters, the profit after tax for Q4 FY22 stood at 68 crores as compared to 30 crores in Q3 FY22. PAT for the financial year whole year 22 stood at 176 crores as against 86 crores in FY21. With this, we would like to open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Nirav Jinoria from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congratulations to the team for the good show.
Thank you.
So I have two questions. So one for Mr. Srinivasan and one for Mr. Ryu. So first to Mr. Srinivasan, sir, if you can just guide us in terms of the total volumes, what we have sold in FY22, how much is coming from the exports? In terms of volume terms, sir. Percentage also would help.
1 minute. We will let you know. Just give me a second.
Yeah. So, and sir, you mentioned in your opening remarks that the increase in the realization is a derivative of two things. One, price increases and some product mix changes. So, if you could just help us explain that this is because some of the products from our expanded capacity would have been sold for the first time, or some of the products where we have already been selling higher realization products and those products have been sold more in this quarter and because of which your product mix is showing some higher realization. So if you can just explain that.
The export volumes per se is about, it has grown by 17% for the year.
Okay.
And it constitutes roughly maybe 35% of the overall volumes.
Okay.
That's number one.
Yeah.
On number two, as far as the price realizations are concerned, I think we indicated a product mix. So there is a series of events which has happened. You have the input cost going up very substantially from, more particularly from October 21. So we had to incur that, and largely due to the expanded capacities at Dahej, and with increasing approvals from customers, we could offer more volumes from Dahej, and that resulted in the higher value product mix. So therefore, that answers the price corrections or the revenue parameters.
But sir, the capacities where we have done the expansion, it is safe to assume that probably those products would have been having the higher realization than the existing basket of products which we were earlier selling from our old capacities.
Yeah, the weighted average component has undergone a change because of the higher value basket is increasing.
Sir, second question to Mr. Deo. So, like, in terms of our guidance of hitting the full utilization by September 23, I think if it still holds true, then how we are placed with respect to the validation time from the customers, after which we may start seeing those incremental volumes coming to us?
So, basically, I think that outlook that we will reach our volumes by September 23 still holds good.
Okay.
Second thing, I think I mentioned one thing that we have now started looking at first the debottlenecking of the plants.
Okay.
So that after that, whatever volumes would come, we would start increasing the volumes through debottlenecking. So which is a very short-term plan.
Okay.
And the long-term plan, I have already explained that we are looking at a long-term plan.
Correct, correct. But sir, normally, when we go to the customers and then we start receiving those approvals for the incremental volumes, where we are currently placed? So like in terms of, because 2 years have been passed from the time we have probably commercialized those capacities and going to the customers, getting back those validation parameters. So from which quarter we will start seeing those sort of benefits accruing to us?
See, basically, as long as we are debottlenecking the products, it does not require approval.
Okay.
So it's only a capacity increase. So there is no change as far as the approval is concerned.
Okay.
And those debottlenecking work has already started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, if you can quantify how much would be the addition through this debottlenecking to our total capacity, as and when it will happen? Any rough indication would help, sir.
You know, it will be very difficult to quantify the things because the debottlenecking projects are such that we start realizing it only when the projects are complete. So, of course, we have objectives for debottlenecking.
Okay.
So, difficult to quantify. And this debottlenecking will happen only for certain products, not for all the products.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, lastly, if you can tell us your learnings and improvements over the last 2 years, because one was a year in FY21 where there were demand-led problems, and in FY22 it was more of a supply-led problems. So if you can just help us understand that, what sort of initiatives which we have taken and which now becomes a permanent to us in terms of either, let's say, process optimization or some sort of backward integration from NOSIL's point of view. If you can just give us some qualitative analysis of that, that could be helpful, sir.
Basically, process optimization is a continuous process, and it's a part of our continuous objective. So this is not one objective which stops anywhere.
that key, continuous improvement is a part of the whole game.
Yeah.
As far as the improvements are concerned, I think the challenges still continue to be in supply chain, but as I mentioned, from last 18 months, we have been changing the whole supply strategy and supply chain security. That is one thing which we have done. As far as the products are concerned, I think about the sales and the sales growth which we have indicated, that it's more or less it matches with GDP growth.
But sir, like any sort of examples, if you can quantify, like in terms of, let's say, some of the cost which earlier we were incurring on a higher scale has now being optimized, and now that could be a permanent to us whenever we will grow our volumes to the fullest extent. So if you can just quantify some of those examples.
I think this is a very, very specific question which you are asking me, and I will not be able to answer this at this forum.
Okay.
The only thing I can give you a very generalized confidence that when we talk of optimization, it is optimization of raw material usages, it's an optimization of energy, which continues to happen to be competitive in the business.
Got it. And sir, are we looking for any backward integration in terms of any of our products?
Nirav, as I said, we are looking at long-term view, but I will not be able to share anything with you. Okay. As far as backward or forward integration is concerned.
Got it, sir. Okay, sir. Congratulations and all the best for the future, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rohit Nagraj with MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. And congrats on a stellar Q4 as well as FY22. So my first question is, we have been, our performance has been increasing and bettering every single quarter. And that is also an element of price increases that we have exercised since October 20. Now, in the recent past, again, the input cost inflation has come in. So what are we hearing from our customers in terms of further increasing the prices, both in domestic as well as exports market, and whether they are really there is any impact on the volume front that we are experiencing in the recent months or so? Thank you.
Rohit, Srinivas here. As far as price correction or price matching is that we actually do the price matching with what is being offered in the marketplace by the competitors to the customers. And you will appreciate that one cannot be different with a higher customer on that front. So I think on the pricing front, we are adjusting our pricing, or we are seeking price corrections based on what the market is offering and according to other cost increases. So that's one part. Second part, we have not seen any, heard any news on degrowth in volumes as it stands today.
Right, sir. Got it. This is really helpful. So second question is in terms of the competition. So how has been the competition from China, both from the domestic imports point of view or from the exports from Chinese market, given that in the US there have been sanctions on Chinese imports? So how is it, I mean, your overall perspective, how things have changed over the last 1 year in terms of the customers' perception about importing other than, say, Chinese players? Thank you.
On these two folds, I would say, we would like to clarify as one. One, before this COVID came in, I think our market share in India was about 33-34%, which we have been communicating in the past that we are about 40-42%. So that's the improvement which we have seen. So there is a de-risking of China, or there is a more of encouragement to the domestic suppliers, which is good because A, we had additional capacities to offer. That's one. That's a critical point, and we are nearby suppliers. Next to the second part is if you see the China Sunshine balance sheet or their annual report, I think they are about 64% domestic, about 35-36% exports. Obviously, the access to US market has become a little expensive because of the duty factor. But when we, it also has presented us an opportunity for NoSil to grow in the US market.
Right, sir. Got it. This was really helpful. One quick question on the balance sheet. So this year, what was the capex? And given that we will come out with an capex update later, what will be the maintenance capex for FY23?
See, this year we have, I think if you, the fixed assets which will come out in the annual report, which I think we are talking about 35 crores there about capex. That's this year. Which includes a lot of residual infrastructure projects and some other maintenance capex. Maintenance capex, one cannot quantify in absolute terms estimate, but it depends on when an event, a particular event happens. So if there is an event happening and that requires a replacement, obviously we'll have to do the replacement. But I think it's not significant. That's what we can say. But I don't think so it would be appropriate to quantify that.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for all the answers and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dixit Mittal with LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. So my question is, in this fourth quarter, is there any element of one-off inventory gain, maybe because of higher inventory during the quarter?
I'll just repeat the question. Sorry, we missed your question.
Yeah, sir, in the margins that were reported, is there any one-off inventory sort of gains? Because I see that your inventory has jumped up quite sharply even at the end of quarter. So any element of inventory gains there?
No, it's not a gain. It's not a gain. I think it's a build-up of inventory because our production rates were higher than the sales rate. So obviously, inventory build-up will be there. And which Mr. Dev alluded to that, it's more to participate any meet short-term demand spikes or supply chain disruptions.
So sir, that means the 50% gross margins that you reported, so that means these are sustainable, right? Unless there is some further disruptions globally.
I mean, if there is no disruption, I think it's okay.
Okay, because sir, because earlier you have alluded to the fact that because now realizations have gone up, so percentage margins may not touch 50%. So that was the understanding. But still, you have achieved that in this quarter.
Just to clarify, it's a turn up. Basically, what we are giving a guidance is that when in a high cost regime, what you are more looking at is whether your costs are getting covered. That's what we should look at. We are not supposed to look at 40% margin, 50% margin, because and per kg realization, per kg is what we look at. What is the value back to the system? That's what we are interested. We are not interested in the percentage. So just to illustrate, if 100 goes to 200 and you have a 40% margin, 40, you are only 100 on 40 on 100 is 40%, but 40 on 200 is 20%. So what we are looking at is maintaining the 40 per kg. That's very important, and that's what we have been doing. And depending on how the market offers, we get that corrections.
Okay, so even on the per kg basis, I see that you have achieved FY19 kind of profitability, right? Because if I see per kg, I think in Q4 you have exceeded on a EBITDA level, I think 70 rupees. So just wanted to understand, is this sustainable going forward next 1 to 2 years?
It's difficult to predict in this uncertain environment because there are so many challenges, etc. So, I mean, it would be very nice if one can predict a clear thing, but I think it's too premature or I think it's not appropriate to even give a long-term call on that.
Right. And then lastly, what is the utilization level currently?
More than 70%, I think maybe nearing 75%.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev with Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon team and congratulations for a good set of performance.
Thank you.
Recently, DGTR has recommended anti-dumping duty on import of steel products, which is TDQ, PDI and CBS, originating from China, EU and Russia. Any comments on this, whether this can go through in terms of approvals from the central government?
We have made our presentations before the central government. We are awaiting their decisions. So we cannot predict because if you see the last 1.5 years, there have been far too many rejections. So that's reason we we would like to keep our fingers crossed.
And would it be fair to say that these three products would account to about 25% of Nosil's revenues?
It depends on situation, but it's a significant revenue, but not extremely very high. Significant revenue.
Okay. And lastly, sir, what we understand is the prices of aniline have started correcting since the last couple of months, and MIBK as well. Do you see this trend sustaining, or do you think this is just an aberration?
I think it's very difficult to comment on this situation, whether it's going to be stable or this is an aberration, because if you really see, the oil prices are volatile, the oil supplies are volatile, so I think it's a very difficult situation to say whether these prices will remain stable or they will go up or go down.
And lastly, given that Mr. Anand has come from BSS, would his objective be also to sort of improve our mix or possibly do some diversification, or we'll continue with our core offerings?
No, I think his designation is Deputy Managing Director. So basically, of course, he will look at the overall business and the overall business objectives, okay, and whatever are the objectives set for him, he will carry forward those objectives.
Great, sir. Thank you for your comments and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Ketan with SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the raw material price front. So has the complete raw material price rise has been passed on in this quarter, or can we expect some more price hikes going ahead to compensate the increasing raw material price rise?
Aditya, I think what we have indicated to you for the whole year, we have managed to pass on the cost increases in the form of appropriate price corrections. So that's true. Going forward, what will happen and what is likely to happen, I think that's too long call to take. As we go along, as we announce in Q1, we will be in a better position to take a call. And the point is, so long as the cost increase is there, we are trying to push for a price increase. And it also depends on how the competitors are also reacting to the same. So it's a situation of what you are experiencing and what the market is offering. So it's a combination of both. So as far as till Q4, I think everything has been passed on.
Okay. Sir, second question, sir, the volume growth has been has almost been flattish for this quarter, and there was a dip of 9% on YOY basis. So the newer capacity hasn't been able to ramp up in this quarter, or what could be the reason here? For this quarter specifically.
I think beginning of this quarter, we had this Omicron COVID variant. So there were logistic issues and the COVID issues. So therefore, there were some disruptions there about. If you heard the call, Mr. Dave alluded to that the domestic market grew marginally. Unfortunately, in the export market, we had to degrow because of the logistic issues.
Okay. So, sir, on quarterly basis, so if the volumes are flat, so the 19% growth in revenue was led by the realization growth only. So has there been a good change in the product mix? Previously, we were having roughly around 25% of the value-added product portfolio. So has that gone up in this quarter because there has been a sharp jump in realization? Considering on the value-added product side, that might have gone up.
Gentlemen, I think we specifically addressed the point that during this quarter, we had the high-value products their proportion to the overall sales basket were much higher as compared to the overall weighted average selling prices. And that's where the overall realization went up. It's a product mix, combination of product mix, some improvement in specialty chemicals, not significant, but there it had also had a role to play.
Okay. So considering the specialty, so the value-added product mix might have gone up. So we can consider so roughly around 45% to 50% gross margins would be sustainable, considering the value-added portfolio has gone up and specialty could be much lower as of now. And
we have always been communicating that the specialty applications product revenue is about 25% of the overall revenue. We still feel that we are around the similar range for the quarter. As far as the value addition percentage, we would not like to comment on that because it's not appropriate to get into that particular because of the challenges what we are seeing today and the way market has evolved over the last 2 years.
Okay. So just one last question from my side. So on the debottlenecking of capacity, so what would be the capex figure if you can share that?
I think those capex are pretty marginal. Even though I can't give us a number to it, but they are not very high.
Okay, so roughly around 20-30 crore can be assumed, like so the maintenance capex only that we can allude to the.
I think forget about assumption. We would not like to share those details, please.
Okay, sir. Okay, no issue. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Utsav Mehta with Edelweiss AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, you may have answered this earlier, but I may have missed it. This quarter, I have noticed that the EBITDA per kg is almost 800 rupees. Just wanted to understand, and we've obviously got some benefit of older inventory. So what, just wanted to understand where this number will settle at. Should I be looking at the full year number of approximately 500, 550 rupees going ahead or will 800 rupees be the new norm?
Gentlemen, I don't know which is your reference worksheet or to which you are saying 800 rupees per kg. I wish per ton. It is 800 rupees per kg or ton?
Kg.
Kg. No, I think none of our price realization 800 rupees per kg leave on our EBITDA. I think somewhere some miscommunication there. Please rectify your file workings.
Okay. So, sir, let me rephrase that then. We've done 111 crores of EBITDA on 136 million metric tons of volume, correct? So, will this, whatever this number, be sustainable going ahead or should I be looking at the full year numbers?
Gentlemen, that is index form. 136 is index form. You are converting into some tons or kgs, I don't know how.
Okay. My apologies, sir. My mistake. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prakash Kapadia with Envid Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I have two questions. You know, if I look at the annual cash flow, despite a PAT growth of 99% in FY22, operating cash flow has actually decreased from 94 crores to 29 crores. And you know, we've seen inventory which is more than doubled, receivables are up. So if you could, you know, give us some sense how much of this is to price increase, is it some, you know, change in working capital in terms of domestic or, you know, export side of the business? And, you know, when do we see operating cash flow, you know, growing in line with the profitability growth?
Gentlemen, when a business is liking, the level of activity increases, obviously the working capital requirement grows in proportion to the level of activity. As far as the number of days operating cycle for working capital, as far as Nosil is concerned, it is still continues to remain similar to what was prevailing last year in number of days cycle. But however, the input cost parameters have increased, the pricing parameters have increased, therefore the working capital deployment is much higher. And you have an inflationary trend, when your input cost goes up by 100%, what can we do? You are supposed to keep that much stock. So that value of the stock goes up, maybe not in the volume terms. Obviously, we had some inventory built up, as Mr. Dev explained about the production rate going up by 34%. That's the reason that is an additional inventory, which is a conscious call which the company has taken.
So you are saying this is more because of the input side, not really in terms of a business mix or some, you know, pent-up demand which we intend to fulfill or some supply chain disruption which we feel could happen. I was just trying to understand, obviously, with the increase, this would increase as we've grown our sales also, but the increase seemed larger. So I was just trying to understand some, you know, qualitative flavor on that thing.
Okay, on the on the debtors, the number of days cycles continues to remain the same. The value has changed because if you are looking at last year 924 crores and this year 1571 crores, the debtors will obviously increase. As far as the inventory is concerned, insofar as raw materials are concerned, it depends on the bookings, and we have seen the bookings have more or less remained similar except the value of the booking has gone up. As far as finished goods is concerned, we have consciously built up the inventory which is already visible in the financial results, that it is 88 or 89 crores built up inventory is there.
And you did mention we've seen the capacity utilization improve. So I think 75% was the number which you just highlighted,
yeah.
Right? From 70% last year.
70, 75 is somewhere between 70 and 75. I don't have the exact number, but 70 and 75.
Fine. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Saurabh with AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on exports. So if you can, give more color in terms of the geography where we are seeing the growth coming in. And also if you can share the, geography-wise mix or the top two or three geography where NoSil exports are the largest quantity.
Sir, we export to three regions, basically Asia, Europe and Americas. And Americas, we have expanded from an index level of 100 to 300 in the last 3 years.
Okay. So in Asia, would it be, should assume that the growth would be muted while in Europe and America should have grown largely? Because if we see the China Sunshine comment, their comment is they have gained the market share in Asia, while in Europe and America, they have not able to do that. So probably NoSil would have benefited out of that?
If you recollect all our investor calls, what I have been communicating in the last 2 years, we have been communicating the basic fact that most of the customers with whom we are in discussions are indicating that they want NoSil to be a global player instead of a regional player. So to that extent, additional businesses are coming. We are seeing additional business coming to us from Europe and America in the last 2 years. And therefore, the Asian market share has come down from what was originally before.
Okay. So my second question is on our guidance of full utilization by 20 September 23. So that means we should grow at least 12 to 13% volume over next 2 to 3 years. So given the domestic market will grow at 7 to 9% tire market, so should we assume that NoSil will capture more market share or the growth will largely come from the export, maybe 20% kind of growth from exports?
It's a mix. See, the opportunity wherever it arises, we will encash that. That's the key part. Obviously, we are prepared for export revenue basket share going up from 36% to 40% in the overall scheme of things. On the expanded volumes, basically.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned the logistic cost impacted the export volume in Q4. So how is the situation right now? So has it normalized or still we are facing some challenges?
There is continuous challenging environment. I don't think so it has improved that way. But we are trying our best to mitigate to the best possible extent. And availability too is an issue of the containers and shipping vessels on time. That's the key thing.
Oh. And so last thing on the realization. So Q4 we have seen a good jump in realization, but have the prices started softening in Q1 given some softness in our raw material price?
We would not like to comment on that.
Okay, sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pawan Kumar with Ratnatarya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to understand most of your contracts with your customers, are they on half-yearly basis or yearly basis, and how frequently can these price hikes be taken?
It's on quarterly basis.
Quarterly. Okay. That was my question. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Deep Master with One Up Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get some sense on, you know, your expectations for volume in the coming year. We've seen that, you know, the export mix has improved. So clearly your export, you know, volumes are picking up. And like you mentioned earlier, there was some impact of, you know, offtake on sort of, due to a sort of Omicron in the, at the beginning of the quarter. And also you have sort of started, you know, drawing up plans for debottlenecking. So that gives me, you know, a hint that, you know, maybe you are expecting volumes to pick up quite nicely this coming year. So I just wanted to get some sense from you on when we can start to see those step jump increases in volume that we've been expecting.
Our guidance remains the same. So we are working towards that. That's number one. And September 23, which is what we said, we would like to use achieve the 100% utilization, and we are still working on the path towards that.
Okay, thank you. So, and just another question, if I can try my luck. I just wanted to get some sense from you on, you know, we've seen a great performance from you on the EBITDA side. Again, a step jump in EBITDA versus the run rate that we've seen in the previous quarters of FY22. You know, any sense you can give us on how much of this is sustainable because our mix has improved? So, you know, if sort of prices remain stable and we continue to kind of, you know, maintain the profitability that we aspire to maintain on a per kg basis, how much of this EBITDA can sustain? Like, is it maybe 70-75% of the EBITDA we've seen, is that sustainable?
See, gentlemen, I think we have already given a message that the future is a little difficult to predict. In the short term, the way things are operating because of the various challenges which is being experienced at the, say, Europe, China and other parts of the world. So, I mean, one cannot put a number, specific number to give you guidance. Although we aspire to grow further, because our dream is to achieve 100% utilization by September 23. So if you are able to fulfill, achieve that dream, I think everything falls in place.
No. So what I meant was, you know, we have 111 crore of EBITDA for the quarter. I was just trying to get a sense of, on a quarterly basis, how much of this is sort of sustainable, you know, if our volume sustain, if prices remain stable, you know, if you take off the sort of benefit of some price pass-through that we would have seen on low-cost inventory. So how much would be sort of sustainable on a, you know, on a sustainable basis if our spreads are sort of maintained?
So Deep, I think we would like to give this clarification more at the end of Q1 results, because today is still in an uncertain environment. So it's sure. Too premature on our part to comment on that.
Sure. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitesh Dhoot with Prabhudas Liladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi. So thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my first question is, how do we see the demand environment in India and particularly in our key markets globally for FY23? In the context that one of our Chinese companies, the little China from China, indicated.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are not able to hear you properly, please.
Hello. So is it any better?
Yes, somewhat better.
Okay. So, sir, what I was asking is, how do we see the demand environment in India and in our other key markets? In light of the commentary of China Sunshine, who indicated that they'll be able to increase the volumes despite the slower, demand in China, on account of multiple factors like, repeated lockdowns, etc. So, I mean, can that imply, you know, some bit of increase in competitive intensity and, you know, margin compression, you know, in markets, you know, ex of China? So, I mean, your thoughts on the same.
We would not like to address the near-term challenges right now because there are it's too fluid a situation. But what we are looking at is a medium-term to long-term. We still see a lot of opportunities for us to grow, and there are enough opportunities which we are seeing in the horizon that will come on our side, and we hope to encash the same.
Sure. Okay. So my next question is, you know, on Nosil's average realization, you know, if I just compare that with China Sunshine's, you know, blended realization, you know, X of insoluble sulfur, what I see is, you know, Nosil is 20-25% higher than China Sunshine historically. So, you know, what would be the reason for the same, if you could just help me understand, is it largely product mix or, you know, or is there any other reason for the same?
There are two things. When you are comparing a China Sunshine realization vis-a-vis Nosil, yes, Nosil has the specialty application product which is constituting 25% of the revenue. So obviously that has a different value realization as compared to the conventional thing. So therefore the weighted average will undergo a change. Secondly, in Nosil about 65% of the business is done domestically, which is having a duty layer of say 7.5 plus other charges, say 7 to 10%. So the blended realization per kg vis-a-vis China Sunshine should be on a higher side. We don't know what is the extent, which number you are referring to, which number you are referring for Nosil. We cannot comment on that. But what we can say, generally we should be on a higher side.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. And just one last, if I may. You explained on the working capital side on inventory and receivable days. If I can just ask you, you know, about the payable days which were lower for FY22. You know, something around 50 days versus 67 days year on year. So, if you could just give some color on that.
I think we need to get into that. I think I don't know the exact working, but I don't think so. Payables are changed drastically. Yes, maybe the sourcing point may undergo a change, and therefore the payment terms may be little tighter as compared to the original one. So then it's a combination of various sourcing. So when we look into that and get back to you in case there is any deviation. But I don't think so there is a major deviation.
All right. Okay. Okay. That's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anubhav with Macro Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. So one is on the capacity front. If I understand well, so the spare capacity we have is of the order of 30,000 tons, right? And in light of that, wanted to understand the rationale for debottlenecking. Is it for specific grades of products?
Basically, this debottlenecking is being done for certain products. It's not across the range. So, as we see the growth of certain products, we want to be ahead of the market so that we should be consistently supplying the product as the demand grows.
Okay. And secondly, on the volume growth front, I mean, though you have kind of answered that you are maintaining the guidance as well as September 23 is concerned, wanted to understand if you can provide any visibility on the you know, step up in volume growth. Is it more a visibility on the client validation, which is a little uncertain at this time? How do you see it?
I think
as we have been consistently saying that with the current uncertainties in the marketplace, it's very difficult to give certain guidance on volume growth. But as we have been emphasizing from last 2 years and what you have seen in the results, that our emphasis is always on volume growth. And as we have been saying that we are pretty confident that by 23rd September, we should have 90-95% capacity utilization.
Okay. Okay. And sir, last question is on the raw material sourcing and particularly for aniline. If you could, specify what is the supply mix we are having, I mean, which countries we are sourcing and how we are managing the risk on that side.
I think I have made it very clear that what we have done in last 2 years is to ensure the supply security. Two things we have done. First thing is more buying from the domestic market so that it gives a boost to the domestic market. And second thing is we have scattered the sourcing, not only aniline, for many of the products to ensure or to reduce the risk of sourcing only from China.
Okay. And particularly for aniline, what is the dependence on, say, China or Russia?
No, I think aniline also we get from different sources. But again, the, we are dependent on the domestic source.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sandeep Baid, an investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening and congratulations on a very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, you had mentioned that you took a price hike in the Jan to March quarter, which resulted in higher realization. I just wanted to know, for the April to June quarter, have the prices again been hiked or they are more or less the same as the Jan to March quarter?
I think we will not be able to comment on this because we have been saying from last 1 hour, that the situation is very, very volatile in terms of raw material availability, pricing. So we will not be able to comment on this.
Okay. Secondly, as you mentioned that the capacity utilization is between 70% and 75%, and you are targeting close to 100% by September 2023, which is 18 months away from, the March quarter. So that could translate into an annualized volume growth of about 20%.
Yeah.
So I understand that markets are volatile and things can be different, but does it mean that we are targeting 20% kind of volume growth when we are looking at close to 100% utilization by September 23?
Gentlemen, if we are able to achieve 100% by September 23 or that, it is automatic and it's a backward calculation.
Right. It's
an aspiration to grow up to 100% or 95% plus in September 23. So obviously this is a resultant number. So what we are looking at the final destination where we want to be, and that plan we have already mentioned. And this, it may be fluctuate quarter by quarter due to the uncertainties. But yes, we have a goal that we would like to achieve that and stand by that.
Thank you, sir. That is all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amar More with Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
On hold, Pete.
Our next question comes from the line of Rushabh Shah with RS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, you mentioned that on the anti-dumping duty, you're expecting some approval. So when can we expect any outcome from that?
Gentlemen, we never said we said it is under process. We are not sure whether we will get approval. It will be notified or not. We are not sure. We have given our representation to the central government. It is up to them to take the judgment.
Okay. And the second thing, that this year we have the value growth has been significant. So going forward, maybe one and a half years down the line, if prices normalize, how much of the value growth will be able to capture and how much you'll have to pass on? If you give any color on that.
Gentlemen, I ask you a counter question. Can you predict oil prices? None of us can predict oil prices. So I think it's too much, there are too many uncertainties and challenges. As we go along, we will give you the guidance. But today, it's a fluid situation. I think we have been, we said in the previous questions that we would like to give more clarity somewhere at the end of Q1 call.
Okay. And in the consolidated numbers, the other expenses are 100 crores. How much of that is fixed in nature, if you have any breakup in that?
Right now, we don't have right now with me, but it's a sizable amount.
Okay.
I think once the annual report comes, probably you will be in a better position to judge that. Maybe in a month's time, we'll give the annual report.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Arpit Shah with Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I just wanted an idea on the anti-dumping duty which is being done by US and Chinese imports. So what is the situation there? What kind of demand we plan to foresee on that?
Gentlemen, we did not follow your question, please.
One second. Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah. There's one anti-dumping duty which has been imposed by US on Chinese imports of rubber chemicals. So I just wanted to know what kind of situation, what kind of demand Nosil can fulfill or Nosil is present there to take over some of these demand.
I think we just answered to this question some time back. On an index level of 100, we have already moved to 300 in the US market.
Okay.
And you rightly said, we presented an opportunity where we have participated in that and we intend to grow further and consolidate our positions there.
So what is the volume market over there in US?
We don't have specific numbers, but in rubber consumption, they are about 9% of the world over, I guess.
9% of consumption globally.
World over, but large part of the US is supplied by Europe.
Okay. And what share China would have in that import? Any idea on that?
We don't have any idea on that. Because you don't have any data on the same with us.
And US as a percentage of exports for us would be standing at what percentage?
That's a business sensitive issue. We would not like to disclose that.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. S.R. Dev, Managing Director, for closing comments.
Thank you. I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly contact Nosil or Strategic Growth Advisor, our Investor Relationship Advisor. Request all of you to be safe under the given circumstances. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Nosil Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and now you may disconnect your lines.